Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 23rd of September, recording at 7:50 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various different assets. But first, a few highlights. Nothing really in stock markets here today. In dollar strength, that's the main highlight of the day here, and that caused a little bit more selling pressure in the temporarily overextended, I think we could say safely, precious metal sector, but they closed well off the lows. Okay, let's go back to then the big picture themes here overall. First, as you know, I've classified Wall Street as a secular bear market, long defined here as a generational long process of valuation contraction, during which PE ratios go down and yields move up, not in linear fashion, but in rolling waves from one medium-term cycle to another. Now, we have seen a very good upside medium-term cycle. We can't say that it's over at this stage yet, but Wall Street's underperformance this year, it's basically been in a trading range, stands out for all to see. And I'll tie this in with the Wall Street leash effect, that while Wall Street is steady, let alone rising, then there's lots of play for other stock markets, which can do extremely well, as we've seen with a good many markets in not only in recent terms, but of course since the really from March 2003 onwards. So this has been an extremely good move, and I judge it as being long in the tooth, but that's an opinion. The fact is, we have not seen any clear technical evidence that it is over. Yes, Wall Street's in a trading range, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't break up out of the range. Now, we did see Wall Street move down to those August lows, and NASDAQ comp got a little bit moved a little bit beneath them. The Dow just tested and then steadied, and the S&P didn't quite reach them, so that showed slightly better relative performance. And I did identify those August lows as a warning point if they were taken out for more than a day or two, not necessarily any indication to bail out of stock markets. But I put it this way, there was nothing to worry about as long as the August lows held. If the August lows are taken out, then we would really need to reassess and watch developments very carefully. They haven't been taken out, and moreover, one can make a good strong case that the Hurricane Rita concerns had caused Wall Street to drift down this week. The latest news on this, I gather, is a bit more encouraging, that it may not hit the main refineries in its trajectory, and the winds have subsided a little bit. So the market may have over-discounted the impact. Hopefully that's the case at any rate. But with Wall Street going back down towards those August lows, again, you see the demonstration of the Wall Street leash effect, because that reined in other stock markets for the most part. You could say, well, Japan was an exception. It's been closed for two of those trading days. But yes, it has been an exception, and as have some of the emerging markets. One that has not proved an exception, but for different reasons of its own, was India. Now, I'll come back to India in a moment, but let me just, where we saw that downward dynamic a couple of days ago and made me feel that the odds are probably that we've begun a medium-term correction consolidation in here. That won't be too serious as long as there's no meltdown on Wall Street, and I'm not forecasting that yet, although I'll be very surprised if we get through 2006 without some sort of major correction. That's not a disaster, but it is something that we would want to. It's a recurring event within stock markets. It is something that we would want to protect ourselves against in some ways, either by lightening long positions or by hedging. And of course, that sell-off, should it occur, would create, in all probability, another fine buying opportunity for 2007 and 2008. Owen and I'll be commenting on developments pretty much every day, as you know. Now, let's get back to the big themes, the industrial resources, and I posted a major paper for me, at any rate, on the site here today covering that. So I'm not going to review all that, but I maintain that this is a very clear, very important secular bull market. We want to be overweight in the resources, in the industrial resources, and that includes the energy sector as well as the mining shares. Now, I also include the precious metals in that area. They have major industrial uses as well. They are also a supply inelasticity story, and that's been my big theme, as you know, over the last 3 years. But supply inelasticity in this sector, on one side, is also encountering increasing demand on the other side. So it's kind of a double whammy in terms of upside potential here. And for mining companies, it creates that rare commodity in this environment. Inflation scope for earnings. Just consider the example of Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, which raised the price of iron ore by 71% earlier in the year. They've got a virtual monopoly. And there's the two shares, needless to say, that I like very much in a sector that I like very much. So precious metals, industrial metals, and the energy sector, this is a huge story. We have not had, or we have seldom had, supply inelasticity problems on this scale. That's as a result of the long secular bear market that preceded this still very young, only 3 years old really, secular bull market. And what for sure is unprecedented is the demand that is actually occurring for these resources. Okay, second big theme here is the emerging markets, and that's also an Asian story. And I want to put Japan in there. Japan, which has recently completed its base formation, I expect to be playing Japan on the long side in favor of, say, European markets and Wall Street more often than not for the next decade or more. And would I go away if I were going to go away and hibernate or cycle, preferably, for the next 10 years and decided to put all of my money into a one developed country stock market? Would it be Japan, or would it be Germany or the UK, or would it be the United States? Japan would be the runaway first choice, no question about it whatsoever. So that's a big theme. South Korea is another big theme, secular bear market. Now, an extremely secular bear market is over, now in a secular bull market. Extremely interesting story. And most of all, I like the Asian emerging markets, with India my favorite overall. Now, I did mention the medium-term correction, and read what Christopher Wood has to say about India, because the CLSA team has been able to pick up more than I know, but there are some regulatory issues there. And so there's a possibility that we get a medium-term correction here, all on its own, in response to the very good gains that we've seen. A little bit of jitters as people take some profits and stop buying to see what happens and how much the market falls back. Very likely to see a correction. Now, I have not the slightest intention to disturb any of my long positions. I will ride out a regulatory issue correction in the Indian stock market, no problem. I'd be a bit more worried if Wall Street were to capitulate in here, as well. That would tell me that, we could see India take the better part of a year off, perhaps, in terms of a corrective phase. And there's a ratio between the bigger a move a market gets and the length of pauses and consolidations that we see. Consider Thailand, which was the star performer in 2003 and then has spent the subsequent period ranging, although now approaching another breakout point, I think, in the next few months, again subject to the Wall Street leash effect. But back to India. I'm not going to sell anything here. Now, if one, and I know a number of you have major investments in India as well. Now, if you said, well, if you were going to stand aside, would you have a better than 50-50 chance of getting back in at a lower level? My answer would be yes, probably. There's no guarantee in this business, as you know, but yes, probably. Would you do it? Well, I can't answer that. Only you can answer that, because when will it have gone down enough? When would you come in? Will the money have been diverted somewhere else? So on. All these points arise. So I'm not going to disturb my core position in India. However, if we get a significant medium-term correction, I will use that as a buying opportunity. And for those who have been who either came out of India or never quite got on the bandwagon to begin with this time around and have been just hoping and waiting for a correction, it looks like events have swung your way. This is likely to be one of your opportunities. Okay. Thailand, I'm impressed the way that's firming up. I've already mentioned that. But in the emerging markets, I think for, well, India at the top of the tree, for safety, I tend to like the sector overall. But the South American story is huge, led by, among the big markets, Brazil, phenomenal performance. But all of them are showing extremely good technical action. And Eastern European stock markets are still doing extremely well. I'm more worried about those, and I'm more worried about some of the Latin American markets. I just think that you have quite a bit of hedge fund money that has pushed those up, and when people do turn a bit pessimistic, they'll come down pretty significantly before they go up again to further new highs. Now, that could apply to India as well, but you do have a big Indian community that invests in that market as well. And so it's not something that can be pushed around to the same extent as, say, some of the smaller South American markets or the Eastern European stock markets, where a few big funds really can drive the performance in the short and also the medium term. I'm going to pause here for a second just to take a quick drink. Back again. So moving on to the government bonds. I don't like this sector. One subscriber who had said, you lump them all together in here, and what about Europe, which might well have fewer deflationary pressures? Well, inflationary pressures than perhaps the United States. Well, maybe. I don't take that as a given, but certainly deflationary pressures have been very much the experience in Europe for the most part, although don't tell that to the people who are spending the euros out there. They'll tell you about price increases. Now, I don't like these bonds. You know my view that a new major inflationary cycle has begun. You don't see most of the pressures at the beginning of the cycle. It'll occur in rolling waves, and it'll occur because of all the debt that's been created and will be partially inflated away, all the credit creation, the vast amount of liquidity that's been sloshing around in the system, as I've mentioned so many times, to really in an effort to make sure that we didn't go the Japan route. This has taken place all over the world. It's still continuing in a very big way. And this has been the rising tide in terms of liquidity that lifts all boats for so many asset classes that we've seen over the last 2.5, 3 years. Now, that liquidity is still quite plentiful. I think the big debate is what will be the cost of that liquidity. In other words, interest rates are still going up in the U.S., although not in many other countries here right now. And I agree with Christopher Wood that the Fed will go on and continue to do this until the stock market sends it a signal that investors are not happy or taking fright. But getting back to the government bonds, first you have that inflationary cycle. Bonds are being issued like there's no tomorrow. Now look at all the people, all the countries, I should say, queuing up to issue 50-year debt. And of course the U.S. has done something which it said it would never do. Nobody ever believed that, or nobody sensible ever believed that, but bringing back the 30-year bonds, they'll start that in the new year. And countries queuing up to issue the 50-year debt. Well, and so they should. My goodness, if for my sins I was in charge of the treasury in any of these countries, and if I could get these low interest rates for 50 years, my goodness, I'd be doing it tomorrow if I could. I'm glad I'm not in that position. It's a major ripoff, and they would only consider doing that because they know darn well that yields are likely to rise over time due to all the liquidity that they are actually creating. So yeah, I do lump them all together. I'm not terribly interested in the subtleties about whether European yields go up more slowly over the longer term than North American yields. And that's a probability, but it's not a given here. We've got this whole euro structure, which people are not thrilled with, and Europe's weak growth. So I expect at some stage or other to see a philosophical change, which then leads to monetary policy changes in the ECB. If we don't get that, then the euro is going to break up sooner. By sooner, I would mean within a decade rather than later, as I had previously guessed would be the event. Why would the euro break up? Because these currency unions have never worked. And this one does not seem to be dazzlingly brilliant in terms of its effectiveness either. Now, elsewhere, what about currencies? Dollar's quite strong in here today. That's the main story. It is pushing up through some initial resistance on the U.S. dollar index. Good gains in here. It's, let's see, the euro has dropped down to 120.49, down 105 ticks. Not a big change in the yen, but yes, it is now. The dollar's up 71 ticks. Sterling's down 135. So it's pretty good gains in here. Aussie down half a cent. So quite good gains in here overall for the U.S. dollar. And as I said yesterday, it's reminded us all that there is a rising dollar is a headwind for precious metals, which had a run and were due a breather anyway. And so we've seen some profit taking there. Now, I don't think we're going to see the dollar take off on another up leg, and I think it'll bog down near that resistance at in the 90 region, if not lower on the U.S. dollar index. That's my hunch at any rate. And I think the U.S. would be quite upset to see the dollar move up too strongly. But I've also mentioned before that, of course, with the Fed continuing with its gradualist 25 basis points a clip interest rate hikes, that does cushion downside for the U.S. dollar, and right now it's doing a little bit more than that. It's helping to push it higher. Now, we don't get the generational long moves that we do in stock markets and in government bonds and particularly commodities in currencies, as I've said before, because no country can endure a rising currency against its main trade partners over a generational long period, it would be ruinous. But we do get 3, 4, sometimes even 5, 6, 7 year runs in currencies, and the dollar's tops and bottoms tend to be a lengthy process. My best guess is that the dollar index is bottoming out down in the 80 region, which I fully expect to be retested and see it perhaps move a bit below that. But I've never been in the dollar will collapse category because the alternatives don't look that hot. But inevitably, some currencies look more lousy than others, and the least lousy looking currencies overall have been the resources currencies, and the one that looks least lousy of all in here right now is the Canadian dollar. That's the only one that I hold as an outright currency trade, and when I get back in October, I'm away next week, as you probably are aware. I will open some more Canadian, in all probability, I'll open some more Canadian dollar long positions. Now, what to go for? Well, in currencies, I always try to match the strongest with the weakest, and so the Canadian dollar is currently the strongest. As some of the weakest, I've already opened a position in Canadian dollar against the Japanese yen, Canadian euro, Canadian Swiss franc. Those certainly beckon. Canadian dollar as well. Now, with the currencies, we have to be careful in terms of political reactions within the country that finds its currency appreciating. And when they start to bleat, that's the time to start to jam up the stops and nail down some profits because the best part of the move has already been seen. We saw that earlier in the year when they began to whinge a bit in this. I'm talking about the politicians, some of the corporate people. The central banks began to whinge in New Zealand and Australia. They're not whinging in Canada yet because the currency hasn't gone up as much as the Kiwi dollar and the Aussie dollar did. So the loonie, as it's known, that's the one that I like the most in here right now. Sterling, no, it's got one of the better yields around overall, but most of these currencies are in primarily ranging patterns. Getting on to the, what have I not covered? I think I have covered the resources sector, the precious metals. Precious metals are in the second stage of their overall bull market, into a second psychological perception stage, I should say, of their bull market. That's straight from the chart seminar material, and that's when a wider audience appreciates that this is going up, but they are still exceptionally cautious overall. So they're because they don't have big positions, and therefore they're only expecting moves of a few dollars or so, and you get lots of consolidations and ranging activity that will continue with the precious metals. We're not going to get gold spiking up in a big way, I don't think, although it's if we get a surprise, I expect the surprise to be on the upside, not on the downside. Gold is experiencing, as you know, a little bit of a consolidation in here, and I think it's a very good buy at these levels. I've got lots of gold at these levels, lower levels, and some at higher levels, so although not more than less than $10 above current levels, and less than $6 above, beg your pardon, less than $5 above current levels. See the December gold at 466.90 right now. So I've got enough gold right now. I've also got platinum. I've got lots and lots of silver, which I'm trading once again at the margin on a baby step basis. When I say at the margin, it means that I hold a core position in silver. I do baby steps trade a portion of my investment, really trying to harvest some of the volatility and to offset some of the contango. I mentioned that in comment of the day today. All I need to do that is the volatility. I have buy orders under the market and sell orders above the market, all very small, little baby steps plays. And I sold some silver on the 19th when it ran ahead quite sharply and bought it back in here again today. That's the type of action that I'll try to continue with. Natural gas, I'm glad relieved to be out of that. It is falling back here right now. It's provided some absolutely splendid trading opportunities recently, as you know. But I was just saying how it performs next week will depend largely on what takes place with Hurricane Rita. But suffice it to say that when it was trading up around 1360, and it's a dollar lower than that today. When it was trading up around 1360, it had discounted one fair amount of damage overall, and it may not be as bad as all that, and that's fine. So if we have minimal damage, then we'll see this fall back, I think, even further, and that would create another buying opportunity in a week or two's time, quite possibly. Energy's in a secular bull market, as I've already said, all forms of energy. And I think that's pretty well. Now, I haven't said anything about the agricultural commodities. Difficult. I think there are better stories around at the moment, but this is a very depressed asset class. Let's get back to the long term. Extremely depressed prices. Supply concerns are always the key variable with this sector. And right now, there isn't any compelling story in terms of supply concerns, but that I'm aware of at any rate, but there are a number of extremely depressed prices. The only way, I think, to trade these agricultural commodities, in my view, is to watch them come down, and when they lose downward momentum and or preferably get upward dynamics, then to pick them up for a recovery trade and trade them out when that rally wanes. And that's it, folks. Have an absolutely splendid weekend, and may you all have a profitable week while I'm away. And I will look forward to resuming the week after next. All the best.